This morning, we're going to be reminded that it's good to be grounded. It's really good to have a firm foundation. It's really good to be stuck on that rock and not to get shaken. So come with me this morning. We're diving into Colossians this month. We are discovering that it's not a new problem. That having new ideas, having new voices, having new thoughts, and being kind of rocked is not a new problem in our world, believe it or not. We might think that, oh, hang on, no, it's all getting out of control, but it's not new. And God's been dealing with this for a very long time. And so as we just jump into Colossians, we're going to know that it's still possible to stand firm and it's still possible to not be shaken, that there are truths in our world and things that you can stand on that will help you and will keep you firm. So our friends in Colossae, they were struggling with this. A little bit of background, Colossae was just a fairly insignificant Greek town. Mainly pagan Greek, with a little bit of an intermingling of Jews as well. Wasn't anything particularly remarkable about it. It's unclear how the church actually started. We don't know how it was planted, but as we read the letter, it suggests that it wasn't actually Paul. He's the one writing it, along with his co-worker Timothy. But he's writing it to them as if he says he hasn't met them. So that kind of explains that he didn't plant it. But he's heard about them. He's heard that they're faithful. He's heard they trust in Jesus. He's heard that they love other Christians. And he reminds them that they're part of something bigger. He reminds them that the good news that they heard about Jesus, it's actually spreading, like it's going all over the known world then. It's changing lives. It's making a difference. It brings them into a picture of something that just lifts them up, raises them up from this insignificant little town into sort of something bigger that God is doing. And I think that's a message that we can hear too, that we're not just, you know, this little church in Bathurst that's meeting, but actually we're a part of something bigger. We're part of what God is doing, changing lives, making a difference. And even though Paul has not met the Colossians, he knows the power of intercessory prayer because he watched the video last week. So he prays for them. In verse 3, we pray always for you. And we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he prays for them. He says, we continued praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We also pray that you will be strengthened. Like he's praying for them. He's praying that they'll have understanding of what God wants in their life. He's praying that they'll be wise with spiritual wisdom, that they'll live and honor and please God, that they continue to do good, that they'd know God better, that they have strength and patience and endurance, that they'd be filled with joy, that they'd always be thankful to God. What a prayer. Who'd like that prayer? Anyone like that? I'd like that. So if anyone wants to pray intercessory prayer for me, that'll be fine. And if you're not sure what to pray for someone else, just go to Colossians 1. It's all there. I think that's pretty much everything we need people to pray over our world. That's where Paul's going for them. He starts praying for them. He knows that they can't do it alone. He knows that there's someone bigger in their life that can work in their world. But then we see him praying that, we think, well, why is he praying that? Like, he's just praised them. He's just said how amazing they are. They seem to have it all together. Because sometimes it can look like that on the outside. Sometimes we can seem to have it all together, but when new ideas come through, when new thoughts, when people, voices that we've trusted in the past, you know, might bring new thoughts to us. Even when things are going well, they can start to kind of shake us a little bit. And sometimes those voices are really good. Sometimes we need to be shaken. Sometimes we need to be, you know, questioning, is this right? But sometimes those things can be really subtle in just throwing a spanner in the works and mixing things up. And that's what was going on for the Colossians. We find out a little bit later in Colossians in chapter 2, verse 8, that others had been trying to lead them astray with empty philosophy, with high-sounding nonsense, with human thinking, not Christ. And for the Colossians, those issues were around Jewish traditions and laws. They were the things that were coming in and destabilizing them and kind of rocking them a bit and taking their focus off what was actually important. And there's all sorts of things in our world today that can be unsettling us. There's all sorts of ideas and thoughts that might just kind of shake us. And sometimes it might seem harmless at the time. But is it Christ? Is it his way of thinking? Is it Jesus' way of doing life? Like, is it coming from that perspective? And so suddenly we kind of see this letter that's written to some people in the first century in Colossae, and suddenly it's like got relevance to me. Suddenly there's things in this page that can talk to me, that can come alive and speak into my world and what I'm going through and what I'm doing at the moment. And Paul kind of emerges out of this prayer in Colossians and he starts launching into the bedrock of faith. He has a lot of details to go into later. There's some practicalities he deals with. But now what is the most important thing? Before any, you know, practicalities, before any specifics of what the Colossians are going through and what speaks to their specific situation, he needs to find the foundation of what everything rests on. He needs to lay that out before them, because without that foundation, there's no stability. Like without the bedrock of what actually matters, everything, like all the practicalities are just kind of irrelevant actually. We need to know what that rock solid underneath in our faith is in this ever-changing world, so that we can stand on that and not be shaken. So this morning we're going to find out what that rock is, so that we can be sure, so that we can know for ourselves. And you know, when I was preparing this message, I get excited because this is a thing that matters most to me. I read these words and, you know, what Laura read out this morning in worship. It's like I just read them and I just go, yes, this is good. This is truth. This is something that I can stand on and I can come back to it again and again and again. And I know that it's right and something deep inside me resonates. So the first thing that we can stand on is that I have been rescued and forgiven through Jesus. That is something I can stand on. I have been rescued and I have been forgiven through Jesus. Amen. I have been rescued because the reality is that I was in darkness. Like that was my reality. I can't pretend otherwise. I was in darkness and I have been rescued. In verse 13, he says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness." That's the reality. We have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. In verse 12, he calls it that we live in light. Don't underestimate that alternative. Like there's darkness and there's light. That's it we've got in the world. We don't have anything else. It's darkness or light. There's no grey. And if we underestimate the alternative to Jesus, then we kind of are kidding ourselves. But when I know that I have been rescued from darkness and I'm now in light, then that gives me an incredible amount of surety. It gives me something that I can know that I'm not having to wander around anymore. That in this space of light with Jesus, that I can actually now see. That I can have clarity. That I can have direction. And part of that rescuing is also that I've been forgiven. But it was bought at a cost. Verse 14 says, he purchased our freedom with his blood and forgave our sins. He purchased our freedom. Like, it came at a cost. My rescuing came at a cost. For God, it wasn't just a flick of the switch. For God, it wasn't just a, oh yeah, that's all fine, don't worry about it. When we lived in Thailand, they used to say, "Mai pan rai," don't worry about it. It's like one of the most frustrating sentences ever. We say it too, no worries. No, it does worry, it matters. God doesn't say that to us. He purchases our freedom and it's costly. And I need to feel the enormity of that. Not to feel guilty. It's not something that we need to feel guilty about again. But to value my freedom. To hold it like as precious. That the freedom that I have is it didn't come lightly. I couldn't achieve it myself. I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't work my way to it. I couldn't tick all the right boxes. Only the blood of Jesus could qualify.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. It doesn't matter how much we pray. It doesn't matter how much we read our Bible. It doesn't matter how nice we are. Only the blood of Jesus could qualify me for forgiveness and rescuing. And the best part of that is that I have assurance. That means I really, really am sure that I've been saved. That I have been forgiven,
yes.
That I have been rescued because it didn't depend on me. And, you know, Paul lays this all out. He says to Colossians, he says, you have been rescued. You have been forgiven through Jesus. This is something that you need to stand on. There's nothing else that can come into your world that matters. Everything else is superfluous to that. You have been rescued and forgiven by Jesus. And the outworking, it doesn't get us any further. It can give us a good life, but it doesn't get us any further with God. So that's the first thing to remember, to be rock solid, to be not shaken. Don't get worried about the things that people might say that you have to do in order to know that, you know, you're going to heaven. That's it. You've been rescued and forgiven in Jesus. Second thing, and this is the cool one and I really, really love too. To stand on, to know, to be sure that this is all possible. That it is possible for Jesus' blood to rescue us and forgive us, is that Christ is supreme.
Yeah.
It matters that Christ is supreme. He's over it all. Without that, without believing that, without standing on that, everything else falls apart. In verse 15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Did you just, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Like, that is mind-blowing. Yeah. Like, Christ, Jesus, like, he walked on this earth and he was visible. He was real. You could touch him. You could know him. You could feel him. You could eat with him. You could talk with him. But it doesn't just say he was the visible image of the invisible God. He says he is the visible image of the invisible God. He's still there in heaven as a man. Like, his body didn't decay, so he's still got it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That gives me great peace. I read that and I just want to stop there. I just want to think about what that actually means, like all that that encompasses. Like, to marvel at Jesus, at Christ. Like, God in flesh, walking, talking, God pouring out his blood. Like, it's mind-blowing. But they're all part of the foundation of our faith. It's what gives us an incredible ability to go, I am rescued and I am forgiven. And he can be nothing less. It was Christ that existed before anything else. Like, he predates all of, you know, universes, galaxies, whichever's bigger, I don't know. He predates Earth. He made them all. Yeah. Verse 16, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Like, so we kind of think that, like, the heavenly realms were, like, there too, always. But Jesus created them too. Like, it was just God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then everything else has been created through Jesus. He made things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers, authorities. Everything around us. Everything we, you know, out there. I don't know what's out there. It was created through him. And get this, it was created for him. Like, all of it was created for him. Like, what a gift. That all of these things are about bringing glory to Jesus. It's not just the angels. It's everything that was created is about bringing glory to him. Every people group, every nation, every ruler, every authority, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, they were actually created to bring glory to Jesus. That's what they were designed for. And so he actually has a vested interest in us. Like, if we have been created for him, to bring glory to him, we matter to him a lot, if that's not happening. We matter to him because he created us and we are for him too. And in fact, the whole world matters more to him than it does to anyone else. Like, we think we care about it, Jesus cares more because he actually even holds it together. Verse 17, he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. And sometimes we might think the world is falling apart. And maybe that's one of those destabilizing ideas that's kind of whipping around in our head. And it might look like it's falling apart because of our mistakes. But actually, just flip it over. He's actually holding it together. He's actually stopping it from falling apart because of our mistakes. we should care, we should act. Like that's actually our God-given responsibility to do. But we are not without hope. Because he has it under control. We know that it's not all going to self-combust because Jesus is holding it all together. Like when we read through these verses, like Christ is supreme. He is over everything. And, I mean, Paul keeps going. In verse 18, he continues with truths about Jesus. He just lays them out. He continues talking about the one who made peace with everything in heaven and on earth possible by his blood. He comes back to that point, talking about the blood of Jesus, making it possible for heaven and earth to be at peace again. Jesus, who enabled us to actually come into the very presence of God and stand blameless and without fault. Like, that just, the fact that we can actually come and stand and worship this morning and that his presence can come in here and be with us, like, that's just all because of Jesus. Yeah. Like, that each one of us is that, you know, the Holy Spirit living in us, outworking. I just find that incredible. And that's it. That's it. We have been rescued and forgiven, and Christ is supreme. That's all you need. That's all we need. That's all we need to reassure us, to remind us, to stand on, to be solid. And so that when anything else comes into our head that kind of rocks us, we go back to that place. And it might seem really, really oversimplified. But you see, what happens when you do that? Is that things start shifting in the way you think. Things start kind of, like when we stand on that good news, that Paul calls it, that is the good news, that is our rock solid foundation. When we stand on that, it starts to be a lens through which we see the world, through which we can experience the world, and through which we can live in the world. Because what happens when we discover that Christ is supreme is that we then bow to him. Yeah. We fall on our knees. We actually realize that it's not me anymore, but it's Christ. And we do this thing called surrender. And it's not a word that our world likes very much. But it's a really powerful word. When we surrender, it means that I put down other ideas. I put down other thoughts. I put down other ways, conversations, lifestyle. I put it all down and I let Jesus be the one that speaks through what that is. I let him be the filter that those things actually transform into. And so when I lay down my things and let him lead it, then suddenly the way that the conversations that I have start changing, the thoughts start changing, my lifestyle might start changing. And I understand who I really am through a filter of Jesus. We let him speak our identity, not the world. It doesn't, we don't need anything else. We don't need a label. We don't need a diagnosis. We don't need anything else. It's Jesus that speaks who we are and everything possible in us. We let him determine our lifestyle, our choices. And we're not what's convenient, not what kind of just works, not what feels right, but actually what he'd like. And we let him direct our interactions with other people. They're not based on how they've treated us, but actually based on how he, Jesus, treats us. They're the things that we can stand on. And so this morning, I'd actually want everyone to stand and this morning, I just think it's really important that we actually stand right now knowing that we're in the presence of God, knowing that he is right here with us, that we're in his presence. And in this space, actually have a little think. Is that my foundation? Am I standing on that? Am I rock solid knowing that I am rescued and forgiven and that Christ is supreme? And I just lay it all down to him, that he is my Lord, no other. That he is the one that determines everything. And, you know, just close your eyes and think about where you're at with that, like honestly, truthfully. Because I know for myself that sometimes I slip off that rock. Sometimes things might just start, I forget what Jesus says about me. I forget that he holds everything together. I forget that he does care about the way I live out my life and that he has things to say about it. He cares about the conversations I have, the way I treat people. And as, you know, those sorts of things start coming in, I'm slip forgetting. I need to stand on that rock that I am rescued and that I am forgiven and that Christ is supreme. So just in this little moment, doesn't have to be long, but, you know, just do business with him. Talk to him. Determine what you believe. Determine what it is. Make a stand. Reinstate what you believe. Like, oh no, I do believe that. That is what is important to me. That is the thing that I stand on. Declare that to him. And go out of here today knowing that you cannot be shaken. That no matter what life throws at you, that you have a foundation that can be stood on. And that is the thing that will hold you to him and weather any storm and get through. I'm just going to pray and then I'll hand over to Rosemary. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you have made it simple. Lord God, we thank you that we have been rescued. we have been forgiven through Jesus, and that all it's taken is for us to believe. I thank you that nothing rests on me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are supreme, that you are over all things, that you do hold all things together, and that I have nothing to fear and everything to hope. I just worship you this morning. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.